The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about the positive and possibilities when you're dating over 50. You know, dating over 50, is it a disaster or a hidden gold mine? Today, I'm going to reach out and talk to my old pal, Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV. We're going to break all the rules and myths about love in the second half of life. What men and women still don't get about each other, why the dating apps aren't the real problems, how to bring on the fun, flirtation, and the real connection back. And if you think your best romantic days are behind you, think again, because we've got a great show and a great conversation with my pal, host of Second Act TV, Silke Schwarzkopf, all about the positives of dating over 50. I got married after 50, and I was dating over 50, and I was having a blast. And the same thing with our guest today, Silke Schwarzkopf. So I think you might learn some new tricks and have a new outlook about dating over 50 right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, hey everybody, welcome again to Guys Guys Radio, a place where we occasionally explore how men and women can live smarter, love better, and show up stronger in the second half of life. Because I'm a boomer and my special guest is, I'm not sure she's a boomer or a GX, but she looks fantastic. Silke Schwarzkopf has been with us on Guys Guys Radio many times and she's back and we're going to talk about dating over 50. So let's face it, dating over 50 gets a bad rap. People say the good ones are taken, the apps are a mess, people lie, romance is behind us. But what if that's all wrong? What if your so-called second act is actually your best act? So our guest today, once again, Silke Schwarzkopf, host of Second Act TV, where she dives into the real opportunities and, yes, the real challenges of dating, love, connection after 50. And we're going to go beyond the cliches today. We're going to get into truth, humor, and maybe even a little magic. Silke, welcome back to Guys Guys Radio.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you for that nice introduction. And I'll follow your introduction up by saying that, you know, what if it's all wrong? Well, what if it's all right?
Well, we'll see. We've all often talked about the challenges, but rarely do we talk about the opportunities. A lot of life in general is about perspective. So, you know, the second act mindset we have to have. The Silke show on YouTube is a runaway smash, and I'm a frequent guest on there, and I even got the second act mug.
Thank you.
For those who are watching on YouTube. So let's flip the script. Let's get right to it, Silke. Mm-hmm. What's better about dating after 50 than when you're in your 20s and even 30s?
Well, a lot of people will say it is better. With this topic today, the reason, I'll just back up for a moment, the reason those cliches exist, the reason that these, complaints, et cetera, it's because they're real. a lot of that is real. And we have to acknowledge that in order, you know, to have the mindset to be able to navigate through that. So I do want to say that, you know, I'm not here like, ooh, rah, rah, second act is the best. Yes, it absolutely can be. And you made an excellent point. It's about your mindset. It's totally about your mindset. It is as easy and as hard as that.
You know something, if you think about it, let's say if you really live a good, healthy life and you get the right hand of cards, because everybody, you know, health-wise, you never know, but you can do certain things. So let's say you take care of yourself and you're healthy and you maybe you retire or semi-retire at 60, and maybe you can live based on all the improvements that are happening and supplementation and exercises and meditation and all that. Let's say you can live to 90. Well, that gives you one third of your life to be free. If you played the game the right way and you've been dealt the right cards health-wise, you could have 30 solid years of quality living. And part of that could be finding the right partner. Maybe you've been with some partners, it didn't work out. Maybe your partner passed or it didn't work out and you're divorced and you're back in the market and it's tough. But, you know, tell us about some of the positives of beyond what I just said, it's time and you're free, potentially free, that dating can be better after 50.
Yeah. Well, it can be better, again, if you have the right mindset, because you should, I hate using that word, but you should have more clarity. Where you know what you want, you bring some wisdom to the table where you don't hopefully make the same mistakes, although that's a whole other topic as well. And yeah, I mean, you have an opportunity to not build something as you do in your 20s or 30s, but you have, again, as you said, let's say the cards have been dealt right and you have a full life. You add to that, you improve it, and you make a decision on who fits into your life versus who, you know, how if it's the right father or mother or, you know, so just the perspective alone, I think, is very, you know, appealing. Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me, Silke, that one of the advantages of when you're over 50 dating, you have some life experience. Mm-hmm. You're more discerning now, because how many, all of us have fallen in love with the wrong person at the wrong time and maybe stayed in a relationship way too long. And then when you get out of it, and you thought, oh my God, I can't live without that person. And then when you're out of it for a while, you realize, how did I ever live with that person? So you have those are incredible resources to draw on, your experience in terms of what you did wrong, what you did impulsively, how maybe you followed your eye instead of your heart. And I think you can really, I mean, for me, I was over 50 when I found my right partner. And I'm glad I waited and I made mistakes and I was in relationships and they're all good, solid people along the way. But maybe we stayed too long in them and maybe they weren't right. And obviously they weren't. So being a little bit older can be a big advantage. And the other thing is, there's a lot of people over 50 who are single. And a lot of them are looking. Yes. Some of them just thrown their hands up and said, no, I'm not dealing with it. But there's a lot of people who are interested in meeting cool people and really living life. Talk to us about that. And, you know, just for everybody, so everybody knows, Silke's show, Second Act TV, she has the most amazing dating and relationship experts as guests, including myself, of course.
Yes.
that we talk about perspectives from women, from men, and some of the things you can learn and put into practice when you're dating over 50. So tell us some of the things you've picked up and formulated as to why these are really positives for being single and being in the marketplace when you're over 50.
Well, again, like I said, you bring a lot of wisdom and experience, and I hate to sound like I'm, you know, skewing to the negative, but I think we need to acknowledge it, is that the wisdom that you bring, or let's say the experience, it can also just totally run you askew. You know, that's where the mindset comes in. And I do want to keep reinforcing that if the mind, you know, you have to have a positive mindset, and sometimes the experience that you bring, you have to have dealt with that. And as you know, that's a topic that we explore a lot on Second Act, because that's a stumbling block for a whole lot of people. But over and above that, let's say, you know, you worked on yourself, you're great. I mean, opportunities is ideally, again, you have, you know, enough stashed away where you can do what you want to do. You know, you can travel, you can perhaps live where you want. You're not restricted, perhaps, mm-hmm. The way you were when you were younger, you know, especially when it comes to intimacy,
right.
Which is another whole topic, too. So all that is a bit different now, but it's also a bit more meaningful. Everything has more meaning, or can have a lot more meaning. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you found your, you know, uni after 50. I have Paul after 50. I'm a boomer. We've been together a long time. And I mean, I and you and a lot of my friends, personal good friends, mm-hmm. have demonstrated you can find love after 50, 60, 70.
Wow.
And just be as youthful and enjoy life as you, like you never thought you could.
Silke, talk to us a little bit about from what you've heard about the perspective. So if you're over 50 and you're in the market, do you find that it's better, and are people more discerning, or are they more forgiving at that point? Or are they more quick to just next versus when they were younger? Because a lot of times with modern dating, if you will, since the technology has gotten involved in dating, it's like either juggle a whole bunch of partners because you can nowadays, it's easy, or just eliminate people. Just boom, mm-hmm. ghost. No, we went out for a drink. I looked at you. I don't like you. Next. Do you think that changes when you're for the over 50 crowd? Are they a little bit more forgiving? Do they want to get to know you? Or is the clock ticking and they're like, next, the same way, in a different way, but the same way?
Both. But that's the honest answer is, again, going back to mindset, what you bring to the table. We've just recently, Treva and I did a couple, because she deals with issues, as you know, she's a dating coach.
Right.
And one thing that is totally frustrating her is how many people over 50 that she specializes in dating after 50 are frustrated with the whole process, or they have said, I'm done with love. I am not going there again. I am done. And she's seeing that more and more and more, to where it's a little bit like, what's going on here? And in her opinion, it is the dating apps that have contributed to that, because while it gives you this, you know, much bigger market, it also gives you a lot more rejection to have to handle. And those are the kind of things you have to understand when you start again after 50, that it's not the way it was when we dated in our 20s and 30s. There's the expectations that you have are so important to understand that and to be realistic in order to have a good experience. And if they are, then again, I go back to, the world is your oyster. It's amazing what you can. I don't know if I answered your question. Am I answering your question?
Absolutely. Your answer is your answer. So, to me, it's when you're over 50 and you get the onslaught of the dating apps and all of that, mm-hmm. it can be too much for some people, mm-hmm. and they might be a little bit naive about it. So two things happen. One, instead of just dipping their toe in the water and going on one site and trying it and dating one person at a time, they go crazy, mm-hmm. and they're on three different yep. sites and they're dating all the time and they're juggling. And it's like, wow, mm-hmm. this is exhausting. I thought dating mm-hmm. was supposed to be a fun sport. So I think mm-hmm. that can be a challenge, but you can turn that into an opportunity. If you can learn how to manage the
Absolutely.
Online dating and you mm-hmm. use what I call my 85% rule, and instead of expecting people to, you know, you read their profile, you mm-hmm. take a look at them, you say, oh, great. And then you meet the person. He's like, what? This is not the same person. Yeah. If you limit your expectations and say, this is advertising. You know what? Maybe you're going to buy the number one brand ketchup or something. Mm-hmm. You look at the commercial, like, oh, look at how that pours out slowly. It looks delicious on that hamburger. And then it's like, oh, high fructose corn syrup. Great. or whatever it may be. The reality is sometimes different than advertising. So profiles are, let's face it, they're ads. Mm-hmm. They're our personal ads. They call it personal ads for a reason. Yes. That's what they were and that's what they are. So if you can hit that 80, go in with an expectation of 85%, you might be delighted if you hit some, you meet somebody who's 90% of what they advertise. And if you hit over 100, you're like, wow, that might be the very special person. So I think one is coming to terms with how to manage the technology and manage your expectations. The other thing is it's the overwhelming mass of people that are out there where you can always keep throwing, keep throwing people overboard. So what do you hear about the patience level and how to manage that for the over 50 crowd versus maybe the younger crowd in terms of how much time do you spend with somebody new? You just trust your gut and like out next, or is it like, I have to get to know this person a little bit, because as we've learned along the way, sometimes your partner, your perfect partner does not necessarily beyond core values. They may not fit what you had in your mind's eye as the mold of the person you want to be with.
Absolutely. That is so, so true. And I think I think maybe we do have a little bit more patience perhaps, although there is that, you know, I don't have time to waste. That's another mindset that you have to overcome, is that you make decisions too quickly, because one of the biggest obstacles that online dating has created, and not just for us, but for everybody, is that everything is so visual, you know, in the first 3 seconds, to where what you really, how you develop connection is, you know, it's chemistry lies. Chemistry lies to you. you might have an attraction, but if you get butterflies and you feel that, that you're already making bad decisions. You're not making decisions based on connection, but based on, you know, something that's going on in your hormones. And that's the hardest thing, I think, is to get through people's minds, is to, if you, you know, if everything was good on that first date, or you match, your core values are alike, your, you know, just the things that matter, you know, not how tall, how short, how fat, how, you know, that's all stuff that ultimately doesn't go towards building a relationship. But if the core values are there and you just don't have that, you know, that spark, go on a second date. Because if we all look back on how our, especially women, how our relationships develop, we weren't necessarily that attracted to the person we ended up with the first time we met them. It you know, it wasn't online dating, so we saw them more. Their stuff developed until you went, you know, I like that guy. And to try to, you know, implement that somehow in the online dating process, to me, would be a huge advance if we can get that through.
Would you, Silke, argue that then compatibility overrides chemistry as an important factor when dating over 50?
Oh, totally. Compatibility is what ultimately matters in a relationship. Chemistry in that sense. I mean, you have to be attracted to someone, of course. And chemistry also builds. What I'm saying is that initial, like, oh, wow, she's hot, or he's hot. Ooh, oh, my God. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a state of mind where you'll do anything to convince this person that you're the one, or, you know, you're thinking becomes askew. And we go back to maybe the way we were when we were younger, 20s, 30s, that silly mindset. And yeah, it just throws us.
You know, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was listening to somebody tell me a story about somebody that a mutual friend, and she's been divorced a couple of times, and she was like, no guys. And now she started dating some guy. And I met the guy, and nice guy and everything. And I asked, they've been together about 6 months. So I said, hey, how are they doing? How's that couple doing? And Uni told me, she said, well, you know, I don't think she's in love with him, but they're together and they have a good time. So is that a good thing, or is that a road to nowhere when you're over 50?
Well, again, it depends. I think it's a good thing if you're both on the same page. If this guy, you know, if she doesn't love him, but he's madly in love with her, then that's not fair. Then she might be, there might be a thing where she's taking advantage of the situation until somebody better comes along. But looking for companionship, or understanding the importance of companionship in a romantic relationship, I think that's something that's just extremely important, especially after 50. We have to enjoy being with the person that who we're with.
Okay. Silke Schwarzkopf, my return guest on Guys, Guys Radio, one of our most famous guests. I'm holding up the famous second act TV mug, and it is the best. And I use it every time we get together and beyond. So
let's talk about
you don't have my book there today. But
no,
okay.
I don't. I didn't
show it to you. It's okay.
I can do it.
It's okay.
There.
Oh, there we go.
Now, don't fall, book. There. Okay, we got it.
Okay. So listen, what's the biggest myth, Silke, that you've heard about that the over 50 singles have and they still cling to and that they need to like drop immediately?
One of the biggest ones, I think, is that all the good ones are taken. You hear that so much. Yeah, you know what? If you're over 50 and you're single, I mean, it's just all the good ones are gone. You know, that you're out of luck. And what that really is, in my opinion, is a protection mechanism. You know, if all the good ones are gone, well, then you can't possibly be doing something wrong by not finding someone. It's you're protecting yourself. But you hear that a lot. You know, there's just nobody out here. There's just nobody out. Nobody is available. You know, I'm giving up. Everybody I've gone out with, there's nobody, blah, 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 you know. And I think that's one of the biggest ones that's nobody. And the fact is, and I think you alluded to that earlier, the over 50 is huge with singles. I think the stats are one in every three over 50. Don't quote me on that, but I know I'm close. So there's a huge population in our age group out there. And yeah, a lot of them are wonderful people who are looking for the exact same thing you are.
Who do you think has a tougher road? The guys or the women over 50? And let me just pipe in with a little bit of observation here. It seems like, you know, as a guy, we don't share our issues, our relationship issues with other guys. We might say, we're getting a divorce, dot, 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 and that's it. We don't get into the details and we don't talk about our relationships all the time. And women are more, they have more of a group therapy thing where they get together and, you know, Sex in the City for women with having drinks. And guys are, if it's four guys getting together having beers, they're usually watching a game or talking about the NFL draft or something like that. We don't get into our personal stuff that way. Does that factor in having that emotional team together in terms of when you're single over 50? Some people think, oh, hey, the guy, he's got some money, he's got a nice car, you know, it's easy for him. Or is it tougher because guys are kind of these lone wolves and women have their support group? Is it easier for the women? Or I guess it's individual cases, but maybe there's something going on there that we need to explore a little bit.
Yeah, like you said, it's individual cases. And again, as boring as it sounds, it goes back to the mindset they bring. For women, there's a lot of insecurities around, you know, body image, you know, just aging and looks, because that's been ingrained in us that that's all that matters. Or that's all guys want. You know, they want looks, they want this. And a lot of us still carry that, even if we don't admit it. It's like, you know, back here somewhere that's there. And that makes it some of it really difficult, where the men that you described just now, you know, that they probably do have it easier. They may not have had it easy when they were 20s and 30s, but now that they've, you know, they're established, they have some money, they're good, they're fit, they probably do have it easier than the woman, an equivalent woman, you know, to him, if that makes sense. Because you know, men want younger, well, and I'm talking big generalities here. However, as you also know, that's largely true. And in that sense, it's easier for men. Okay. And I put a big quote around that. However, the supports that there's lots of men out there that have been hurt, lots of men who have been jaded and, you know, are bitter, right, perhaps rightfully so. But again, you have to work through that. And in that sense, it's much more difficult for men because they don't have the support system. They can't talk it out. And a lot of them just withdraw and like, I'm not touching this. I'm done.
So in terms of like the communication and the understanding between men and women of each other, what do you think is the most consistently thing that's misunderstood about that men misunderstand about women when they're over 50 and vice versa? What do women misunderstand about men of that age?
Well, the first thing that popped in my head goes back to attraction and intimacy, that whole piece, because that's huge, you know, at our age group, our age group, and to where if a woman, like men come, they move faster. Men can come on strong just because of the security that they bring to the table. They're not worried about safety. They're not worried about perhaps, I mean, there's just different issues when you first meet someone. And then with women, you know, you're holding back or in that holding back is sometimes misinterpreted as not being interested. You know, or playing games, mm-hmm. and maybe, you know, maybe to some extent it could be, again, generalities here, but that's a huge misinterpretation, mm-hmm. that if, you know, if she's not physical, if she's not this, then she must not be interested. And the opposite of that is that, you know, women think that that's all men want because they do come on strong because that's just what they're used to doing, and that's not necessarily all they want. You know, looks, and I think you're the one that said that on our show once, is, you know, looks will get you so far. It'll get you to that first date, especially if you're, you know, online dating, mm-hmm. but it doesn't keep them. It does not keep the person there. So
that's a great point. Oh yeah, I made that. Okay. Silke, what do you think when obviously everybody's using, whether they like it or not, or they have problems with the honesty factor, which is understandable, mm-hmm. for online dating, what is the profile mistake that almost everybody makes that kills their chances online?
Well, that kills your chances would probably be lying. And that's unfortunately prevalent. You know, in our age group, we lie about age. There's various reasons for that. Some can be maybe explained a little
bit. The algorithm.
The algorithm. Yeah. But however, it's a lie. If you put down you're younger than you are just to get into that algorithm. And well, just for some reason, and I just don't see any purpose in this, people lie about their weight and their height.
Right.
And well, when you meet, you're who you are.
Right.
So you might get that date, but that it's going to be a pretty disappointing date. You know, people get angry when that happens. Like what? You know, and so that's what would absolutely kill it. What gives you, where you really sabotage yourself or just take yourself out of the running, if you will, are these profiles that are just generic.
Right.
You know, you absolutely do not stand out. You know, everybody loves walks on the beach. Everybody loves sunsets. Well, we love to travel.
Right.
Just don't even use any of that. That is typically overlooked or makes you just look, you know, mm-hmm. run of the mill.
So then how, the flip side of that, Silke, would be how can somebody stand out? I mean, what you really want to do is you want to make, if it's an ad, and I'm from the mm-hmm. advertising business, you want to make an emotional connection with the mm-hmm. with your audience. So how can somebody do that? So the viewer says, I want to get to know that person. That's interesting. What can they do?
Make them feel interesting. You mean when they click on their profile and then how to approach them?
How do they put on their profile? What information do they need to include that makes the viewer say, mm-hmm. I want to know more about that person? Now, obviously, they look like the way they look. So you want a couple of maybe three pictures in a group, maybe something a little more formal and something, you know, active or mm-hmm. a headshot mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah,
keep
right.
it simple. So this right. is who I am. And mm-hmm. And then in terms of the copy, you want to be honest, right? And
absolutely.
But you want to do something to that you're selling without selling, so to speak.
Right.
So authenticity.
Well, what's special about you? What is it that you really enjoy doing? Is it even, you know, it could be quirky. I mean, don't get too quirky on your profile, right. but something that's different that makes you stand out. You know, I love butterfly. I mean, I'm just coming up with something, but to where you bring something else to the table that gives an insight into your life. Or, you know, I really, you know, love animals. I've been working with rescue, you know, for the last 20 years. I have, you know, and mm-hmm. would love to meet someone who shares my, you know, experience or my love for this. That's always
so
good. You know, paint. Go ahead.
That's so real. I love it.
Yeah. Just paint a small picture of your life. You know, you don't want to write an essay. But that first paragraph is important. And just, you know, read it or have a friend read it. And I mean, I'm not recommending to put it into AI. Don't let AI write it. But sometimes AI, we call them chatty, there's some good ideas, but then you have to put it into, you know, like, how do I say that I really love this? How do I say this better? And, but just something that captures you, that somebody will go, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I agree.
What that also does, excuse me, is it when you put something there that somebody would question, well, that's you've given them a question to ask you, to contact you. And, you know, instead of just, hey, because, wow, I read your profile and that is, I love that. You know, tell me, whatever. I mean, it gives a reason to start a conversation, if that makes sense.
Okay. And we're talking about, you know, the opportunities for dating over 50, that it's not all doom and gloom and there's a lot of good things. So places that are right out there in real life, IRL, as they call it.
Yes.
Where are good places for people to meet others when you're over 50? It's like, it's Trader Joe's, or is it the gym, or is it the wellness spa? Is it where are some good places?
Well, I mean, I have my own opinions on it. I don't want anybody talking to me when I'm in the gym. And I think that could be misconstrued. Some people meet at the gym. That's okay. I'm not saying it never happens, but I don't think that should be like part of your strategy. I think grocery stores, absolutely. It's so easy to strike up a conversation. I mean, you don't want to hang out at the grocery store, but right. Don't miss an opportunity that, you know, and they're picking out bananas and yeah, you know, those are ripe today. I mean, that's happened to me quite a bit. And it because I'm not looking, you know, now I've been in a relationship for a while now that started online. But I said, oh my God, that he was hitting on me. And one of my
The guy with the bananas.
Yeah, it might have been a bad example. Let's go avocados. How do you test avocados? Yeah. But like I love this story. It's one of my very best friends. We went to college together and we're still, you know, best of friends. She, after 50, well after 50, she was in her late 50s, never got married. She was a very successful businesswoman. She was in line at Costco and had just gotten done working out from the gym. So not, you know, in her mm-hmm. Sunday best or anything like that. And then, you know, was a guy standing behind her. Well, the register tape broke and they had to fix it. They had to call someone and that person was, you know, they just took forever to get the register working again. And so they struck up a conversation and, you know, long story short, it's now 12 years later and
wow.
Yeah, they're living together. They're not technically married yet. That's a whole other topic too, but yeah, they're basically married, living together and yeah, have a wonderful relationship that didn't exist before.
And so talk to us a little bit about Silke, about like then flirting. So is the art of flirting when you're over 50 more about like, and we talked about people in the grocery store and stuff, more about just being real. Be like being mm-hmm. authentic. If you have a question about if you know that about avocados, I would say ask a question if you really have a question about. Don't unless you know it's a special thing where like, wow, I gotta meet her. All right, I got avocados. Yeah. Okay. How do you tell us these are right? You know, you do what you can because you're on the show.
You can almost do that kiddingly, but no, of course, of course. But you know, that's what I'm saying though, a grocery store with everything that's around you, there's something that's worthwhile, you know, to strike up a conversation. I personally enjoy my wine and there's all kinds of conversations to stir up in the wine, you know, oh, have you tried that? Oh yeah. You know what? I mean, that's all easy. I think the one thing that people don't realize or don't give enough value to is the importance of a smile. Mm-hmm. Smile and eye connection. That's like the easiest way to flirt or mm-hmm. to get someone's attention. And you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? They don't look back or the right. best thing is that, yeah, you get a little bit of a longer look and who knows?
You know, it's like, you don't want to stare, but you want to get somebody's attention. So if a woman's looking at guys, sometimes guys are unaware. And a guy doesn't want to stare at the woman, but if he is like interested and he's staring at you, you don't want it to be creepy. So what's the balance with the eye contact from afar?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put a timeline on it, but I think you kind of know. It's like, no.
Yeah, little place.
A little longer than yeah. the and if you know that she noticed or you know that he noticed, be a little bold and just, you know, I just want to tell you that your hair is amazing. So just, you know, or something like that. I mean, stay away from body right. compliments. But you know that you have real style. That is an amazing sweat or something. You know, again, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, that's,
I love it. Alone. I love it. My special guest on today's Guys Guys Radio, return guest, the amazing one, Silke Schwarzkopf, host and creator of Second Act TV, that runaway success on YouTube. And I'm frequently a guest on there. I'm always delighted. We always have a blast. So today we're talking about the opportunities of dating over 50 that maybe people younger don't have. So a lot of times when we date, when we're kind of in our core corporate years, I remember being back in New York, I'd go on these online dates. I'd meet somebody and they'd hammer me with questions and then be like, sorry, no sparkle, next. You know, you're in and you're out. It's like a job interview. You didn't get to the next round. How do we... when we're over 50, how do we make that experience more playful and not feel like an interview? When you're over 50, you don't want to deal with the questions thing. You got to ferret out some information about the person, right? Were they married? Did they have kids? That type of, you know, basic stuff. But you don't want to be drilling them with the questions and make it a one-way conversation.
Right. Well, to me, a bit of a rule of thumb. Yeah. I mean, on the first two dates, especially, you do want to find out if they're available, you know, to what extent are they? Yeah. And one way, you know, to make that maybe a little less or more palatable is to say something about yourself first. You know, I've been dating about so-and-so. I was, you know, I was in a long-term relationship, but I'm just really ready to meet someone. You know, like I'm open to whatever. I mean, just give something about yourself first to where you either give them they should, well, you know, me, I, you know, this is my thing or something. But now it becomes a conversation versus, you know, well, when did you get divorced? Why did your divorce end? Right. You know, what is it that you're looking for? You want to bring that. It's just volunteer, bring to the conversation as natural as you can.
Now, obviously, when we hit 50 and plus, the chemistry, the sexual chemistry of the individual itself, the biological part of sexuality by individual changes when we hit 50. And sometimes directionally, it's a little bit different than men, but it could be just the opposite also.
Absolutely.
And you want to be on kind of the same page. And I've talked to women over 50 and they say they just don't care about sex. And I've met and talked to women over 50 and like, they can't get enough. And with guys, it's a little more predictable, but you know, things happen where sometimes it's not the same. So and you want to find out about that. And I guess one way is obviously when you get to that point to be intimate, you see if things are feel right. Is there a way of ferreting that out a little bit before you get all the way into that part of the new relationship, if you will, that you want to make sure that you are on the same page
with
your
think,
potential partner?
Yeah, that's a tough question. And I'll tell you why, because at what point, you know, is it appropriate, let's say, to bring that up? I think that if there's a problem, if you have a problem, you know that, you know, you have erectile dysfunction. I'm not talking about you, Robert. And the, you know, or the, you know, if there's an issue, then if you know you want to, you know, this is someone you're interested in, I would disclose that, you know, and not on the first date or the second date, but if it looks like you're going somewhere, let's go, you know, I really enjoy you. I can see this going further. It needs to be brought up unless you want to, you get, it just depends on how maybe embarrassed you want to be.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you're going to find a guy who's going to say, who's going to admit something like that, because I think they're always thinking with the right woman, it's not going to be an issue. they're going to project some of that. Like, it's like,
I think maybe they will. Yeah. But I think men who truly had that know that they have, I don't think they think it's with the right woman. I don't want to speak for men, Robert, at all. I think men who've truly experienced erectile dysfunction, that it is something that could actually hold them back from, proceeding with an intimate relationship with someone new. So it is, we actually have really good videos about that because mm-hmm. it is so prevalent, in our demographic. And with women, it's the vaginal atrophy and all, there's so much we have to learn about our body that nobody ever taught us. Mm-hmm. We have excellent videos on that guarantee if you anybody, I don't care if you're a sex therapist, you'll learn something by some of these videos that we have with Dr. Simon in particular. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. It's a tough conversation. But maybe the answer is there isn't really a way to do it. Maybe it is something that you feel out, yeah. unless you're willing to be direct. And it's a hard question to answer. I don't know that I can necessarily
sum that up. How about, we're getting close to the end here, but three rules that you would say, these are your must-have rules when you're dating over 50 to give you the best opportunity of meeting and connecting with a new partner. And if you want, I'll go first if you need to think about it.
Well, I mean, be yourself, of course, be authentic. Don't that goes with it. I don't know. Rules are this. I mean, there's so many do's and don'ts. It depends on how particular you want to get. But I'll go back to what I said at the beginning. If you are not ready, don't tell someone mm-hmm. that you're ready for love or looking for love if you're not ready.
Right.
And a lot of us think we are, but we're dating out of loneliness versus, finding someone to enhance our life. It's because we're missing someone. I think that's probably the biggest rule. Make sure that you're ready, for love, and that you're not necessarily leading someone on or even yourself and making bad decisions because of that.
All right. If that's the case, you say you've gone through your own personal checklist. You learned, mm-hmm. looked inside and said, this is what I've been doing right. This is what I maybe haven't not been doing as well as I could have. This is what I'm looking for in a partner. This is what I have to offer. I'm ready mm-hmm. to go. What's the power move? What's the bust out move that somebody needs to make to get themselves out there and put themselves in the right situation? You could say for a woman, buy a hot cocktail dress and head to a restaurant bar on a Friday night. But you're going to get you're going to get creepy guys as well as nice people also. So maybe that's a good move. I don't know. I'm not a woman. What would be your suggestion?
Well, if I'm understanding your question right, is that if you're not dating, or especially if you haven't tried online dating yet, I think that's a power move. Because a lot of people are hesitant to do, I'll never get online, I'll never do this. There's so much fear around it. Some of it is it's real. You should be worried about this. But all the scam and all that stuff, it's actually very easy to mm-hmm. filter that out. Yeah. You simply don't give anybody money. Done. You're done, But if you have, that's a bold move. For a lot of us and a lot of people I've talked to, once they've written their profile and then put it out there, it's like they feel like they're in the game. Okay. So, and that's, of course, different than it was 20 years ago when we didn't have online dating. That to some people can be a huge power move in their mind, in their own mind, that they've taken action. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. So I think that's right. I think it is. I used to say when I lived in New Jersey, it's like Route 17. It's a necessary evil. If you want to get north or south, you got to take this road. And I think if you're single and you're looking in today's, 2026 and beyond, you've got to consider online dating, give it a shot, and know that there's going to be some pitfalls there. But if you're smart about it, it can be an amazingly opportunistic venue and platform mm-hmm. for you to meet people. And then it's up to you to determine if they fit into what you're looking for. So once again, the amazing one, Silke Schwarzkopf, back here from Second Act TV on Guys, Guys Radio. Last bit of advice. One last thing for people out there. You're over 50. You want to start dating. You said online dating is a power move. Anything else that they need to know about themselves?
Well, again, I can't harp enough on being, you know, bringing positive vibes to the table. You know, if you bring any kind of negativity, people will feel that. And you don't have to say it. You don't even have to say anything negative. I mean, you just feel if mm-hmm. someone is negative. You know, right. you truly have to feel good about yourself and what you're doing.
Perfect. You know. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for being back on Guys, Guys Radio, the amazing Silke Schwarzkopf.
Thank you, Robert. I always love being on your show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another wonderful, fun, and insightful conversation with my pal, the creator and host of Second Act TV, Silke Schwarzkopf. Once again, Second Act TV is all about making the best of the second half of your life. And a lot of focus of her show and what we talked about today and often with Silke is about dating and dating over 50. And you know what? I think we learned that the news isn't all bad news. It's a lot of good news there. And number one, it's a numbers game, and there's so many people out there who are single again or still single when they're over 50. So you've got a nice pool of people to choose from. Secondly, you have the technology now. If you've been out of the dating game for maybe a couple of decades, whatever, if you were married or in a long-term committed relationship, well, you're back out there now. You've got technology on your side. And if you look at it as a positive and you manage it effectively, it can be a real help. You've also have the experience where hopefully you know how to make better decisions now than you did when you were in your 20s or even in the 30s. And the biggest thing is to succeed. Number one, you can succeed. But number two, you need to have the attitude that goes with it. You have to have a positive attitude, as in anything. But you can, because the data supports you. You've got the people out there. You've got the experience. And you probably, hopefully, take better care of yourself also. So there's a lot of opportunities there for dating over 50, but it's up to you. Stay positive and have fun. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys, Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.